wasn't it? That was beautiful. Thank you, ladies. You won't hear anything better than that on the radio, I'll promise you. When you add that, that it comes from a heart that loves the Lord, that means all the world, more than the world. Great, wonderful, outstanding. Thank you for the time and practice that you all put into that. That was a blessing. All right, we're going to let Brother Ben come and have the service now, and he can say what he wants, and then show that we're ready to go with the DVD. It's been a great blessing, of course, to have them at home for a few months, and now coming down to the end, they need to go to Oklahoma for Christmas, be gone for several days, but then back to finish out the old year with us, and hopefully a part of the new year. But January 5th, headed back to Madagascar. So all yours, my friend. Come on. What's that? Oh, we got a special. I'm sorry. I'm ahead of the game. Come on, ladies, and sing for us. All right, that'll be a blessing. That'll help us. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you for keeping me out of trouble, Ben.
Jesus lived and died for out with a blessing, and as always, it's good to be back. We are happy to be back home for a little while, and we've been gone from here a little more than we were last for a little, but we had quite a few churches to get to on this side of the country. Just so you know, we did put a table up out back, just in case you wanted to stop by and look at our display. We are one item short. The coolest item on the whole table made it all the way through 49 churches, and it was lifted off the table last Sunday morning. So, and it was a big spider in a glass ball, and I just got it from the market and to put on the table. I didn't realize it was going to be this, but man, everybody wanted to talk about the spider. And so sorry, kids, it's gone. Some bus kid in Minneapolis, Iowa, or maybe church kid. You never know. Maybe preacher's kid, and probably. took it off the table. That's right. Probably so. And I don't know how he got it out, you know, hid in his pocket. But anyways, if you want to go back by and look at it, that's fine. And there's also prayer cards. Please grab a prayer card because I printed 1,000 too many, and I need to get rid of them. So not asking you to get one to pray for us, but please get them. We need to get them out. No, but... anyways, they're back there, and I hope you'll enjoy the presentation. Sure love this church. Everywhere we go around the country, this church has a good reputation. It has a good reputation because of the pastor of the church, amen. And someone commented this morning on the good message, and I said, you know, it's always that way here. And it has a good reputation because of the members. As the members of this church, whether maybe you have family in other places or as you travel and get around, it does. I'm not just saying that. The members of this church have a good reputation. It has a good reputation because of the missionaries out of this church. And there are a lot of churches that we go to support the Lowe's and the Oswortys. Of course, Brother Oswarty and Brother Schrock have been out for a lot longer than Brother Lowe and I. But it has a good reputation, and it's always good to be back here, and we sure appreciate you all. And we're going to show the DVD now and let you know what's going on in Madagascar, and then I will take it from there. Madagascar, what is that to you? What comes to your mind? Is it just a cartoon? The land of lemurs, a forgotten Garden of Eden, where 80% of the plants and animal life there can be found nowhere else in the world? Or is it just another heartbreaking story where daily life is a struggle and 80% of the population there live on less than a dollar a day? No, it's more than that. It's a place that 23 million people call home. People who need to hear the message of God's love for them. Missions is a family endeavor. And it's our family trying to reach other families. Family is fundamental to Malagasy society. The traditional religions of ancestor worship and animism can't be separated from family and your cultural identity. Children are taught from a young age their place in that system and their duties in that system. To forsake those religious beliefs is to turn your back on who you are and your family. They are motivated by fear. What will happen to me if I turn from this? What would happen to my family if I turn to Christianity? But we know the Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear. And God's power, and the power of His love, can deliver them from the bondage therein. And that's the message that our family wants to take to the families all around us in Antananarivo, Madagascar. It's about people. And that's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. And we moved to Antananarivo, the largest city in Madagascar, the population of 3 to 4 million people living there. And we started from scratch, committed to establishing an independent Baptist church, and committed to evangelizing, committed to discipling, and helping them grow in Christ. And I got to tell you, Sundays in Madagascar, that's the highlight of our week. That's game time. That's our chance to be around these people and to teach and train them to serve in a local church, to help them grow spiritually, and then to challenge them to get out and do that same thing in other areas of Madagascar. $23 million people. But 10 years ago, that was $18 million. So how do you reach that kind of growing population? It's the Malagasy reaching the Malagasy. We started a school of the prophets to teach our men to teach and preach the word of God and evangelize and prayerfully start other churches someday. One of those men approached me about starting a Bible club in a village, a Bible club for kids. It started with 8 and then 30 and then 60 kids. Now over 100 kids coming. Even some teenagers and adults have come and been saved. And in a country where 40% of the population is 14 years of age and under, that is a future church. And that's the future of Madagascar. So please pray for us as we endeavor to reach the next generation of indigenous leadership in Madagascar. Because church planting is our heartbeat, we spent the first year and a half in Madagascar learning Malagasy, the heart language of the people there, and then setting up our NGO. The NGO allows us to be there in the country and live and serve the Lord. But it also allows us to evangelize the lost. For instance, Bill Graham, a former police officer, came to Madagascar. He's come there twice, donated 75 bulletproof vests to the police force there, trained them, and preached the gospel to these police officers. So whether it's preaching the gospel to a large group of police officers and government officials, or trying to reach that one common man who lives in our neighborhood, whether it's a large village ministry or just a small home Bible study, we remain committed to Christ's command of preaching the gospel to every creature and to seeing many Malagasy people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
My wife and I had the privilege of being in Madagascar in March of this year. It had been 5.5 years since our first visit, and the difference between the two visits was absolutely amazing. The first time I was there, I preached to a crowd of people, about 20 or 25 folks. Many of them were there because Ben's an American. What did that mean to them? Money? A trip to America to fulfill their dream? But this time, I saw the real definition of a church according to the Bible. I preached to an assembly of born-again baptized believers who were organized to carry out the work of the Great Commission. It was obvious that they had a heart for God, and that they also had a heart for others. Two things I thought. I'm very thankful for what has been done, and my goodness, what more could God do with a few more laborers?
Well, it is hard to believe that 10 years ago, this church sent us out, just our deputation, and everything that's happened there has been because of this church. You sent us out, you kept on paying our insurance when we first started, and we only had meetings, took us on for support. Brother Deuce did a lot of work on our first presentation, and Brother Hendrickson and Matt and Brett, you guys printed prayer cards and did letterhead. And it's just this church has just been behind us the whole way. And even now we come back and different people in the church have provided some items for ministries that we started or we're going to start and taken pictures or just, and of course earlier this year you got behind us in a big way and with your love and your prayers and with different things that you sent our way. You saved me by paying for my mom and dad to come. And that was a blessing when my mom got there, I will tell you that. And I was trying to take care of Ashley in the hospital and take care of the kids, and there was homeschool and the church and everything. And then, of course, they brought the children back for us. So we can't tell you enough how much you mean to us and how much we appreciate you. We're excited about the next few years there. We did see a lot of growth during this last term there on the field. People in discipleship, you know, maybe about 30 to 35 or 40 folks that are discipled personally now, and then probably close to 50 who could take the Lord's Supper, who are saved and baptized, of course. And we hope on this term, we'd hope to have a chartering service and establish as a church, and we would we want to start a Bible Institute to train the future leaders of that church and hopefully other churches as well. We had a church give us some money to help buy some computers and tables and chairs and different things for a Bible Institute. So we're excited about that. And Brother Brent Gellis has been a help with kind of helping me with that, because he's done that, of course. And so we're going to be in contact with him again as well as we go forward with that. So we're excited about what God has for us. We're excited about the village ministry. That just is when Ashley's family came to Madagascar, we took a trip. We left our capital city there, and we drove 12 hours to the coast, not all the way to the top of Madagascar, but to the northwest coast. And we went for 12 hours on that road, and we passed village after village after village, and there's not one gospel-preaching church anywhere on that road. And so I was very excited when the man in our church got some land to start working. And during the week, he comes back for church on the weekends, but he got some land to start working and farming an hour and a half up that road. And it just kind of started the kids' Bible club. I began going every weekend on Saturdays and taking some people with us from the church. And some adults have got saved. Another teenage girl just got saved, I heard, just this last week. And so we're starting to talk to her parents about baptism. Her parents do not want her to get baptized. They're Protestants, and they'll not see the need for her getting baptized. And so we do face opposition. We're considered a cult in Madagascar, and most people in our town, we started knocking on doors, had no idea what a Baptist was, had never been to a Baptist church. And as we've managed it, what we have found is that when we went back next term, we had people saved just because we went back. And then hopefully every time we keep going back, we'll keep seeing people saved and things happen and good things there. I did just want to take a minute. I don't normally do this. I know we don't normally do this on a Sunday night at this church, but if anybody had a question about what you saw or the ministry there, I'd be happy to take a couple questions if there are any. If there's not, that's fine. But if there was a question, I'd be happy to try to answer it if you had one. And again, no problem if there's not. So anybody have a question? None from Ashley and the girls, please. You don't know. So, okay, I don't see any hands, and that's fine. We'll get to the message. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I think it's a little bit of a different message tonight, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. I hope that it'll encourage us and it'll challenge us. I, to be completely honest with you, I'm preaching probably mostly to myself tonight, and hopefully to other people in the church, maybe like me or my age. And of course, I think it'd be good for everybody. But preaching to myself, maybe people in the church like myself, and then maybe younger than me as well. And I do hope that it'll be a blessing and encouragement to all of us tonight. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 1. And let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. I tell you, we can go ahead and just read responsively, since that's what we do. We're going to read down through verse number 16. So I'll read verse 1, and then we can read together in verse 2 and do that until we get to verse 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the people that have come tonight. I thank you for what you've already done in our hearts all day today here. Thinking about the music that we've heard, the specials, whether on the piano or that were sung, Lord. And just thank you for this time of year and for what it represents, Lord. And it's not about Santa Claus. It's not about buying and giving, though we're happy, Lord, to give presents and enjoy the season. It's about what they sang about a few minutes ago and the greatest gift and how you came, Lord Jesus, and were born in Bethlehem. And as we sang, you still came, even though you knew what it would cost you. And we're very, very thankful that you would love us enough to do that for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd please help me to be a blessing tonight and an encouragement and a challenge to these people. And we'll give all the praise and thanksgiving to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. This is a parable. And Jesus often used parables when he taught people. Now, we know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in places like Madagascar and cultures like that, they do use stories. It's a story culture. They didn't have books, and so they passed down their history and heritage by stories and by proverbs. And so even in Madagascar, they will many times give a story that will teach a truth, and that's what this is. Now, we're not going to try to give everything in this story a meaning, and I'm sure that you could probably take this story and apply it different ways, maybe different things that could have different meanings. But I want to give you a few things about this story, maybe give a few meanings to what we just read, and then hopefully use it to be a blessing to us tonight. I think in this story that the householder could represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His vineyard. He is the Lord. What we do for Him, it's for Him, and it's all because of Him, and He represents the householder. The laborers, I believe, would represent Christians. That would be you and me. The vineyard could represent our Christian service. The day could represent our lifetime on this earth. The hours, I believe, represent how much time you have to serve God, depending on when you get saved in life. We read that, how there was the first group that was called early in the morning, probably at 6 o'clock in the morning when they started. And then the third hour would be 9 o'clock in the morning, some more were called. And then the sixth hour, noon, and 3, and then 5, and like that. And so that would represent where if you were saved early in life, that you would have been the group that was called early, and then so on. And if you were the one that would have been called in the 11th hour, you represent those who were saved very late in life. The penny represents our reward. Now let me say this, that we know it doesn't represent salvation, does it? Because we know that salvation is by grace through faith. It is not of works. And we could never earn that on our own. So it doesn't represent salvation. It also does not represent equal rewards for diligent and slothful Christians. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8 that every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You see, God is not a socialist. And God's not going to reward those who are slothful and those who are diligent the same. And socialism always has and always will produce laziness. Why should I work harder if it's just going to take it away from me and give it to someone who slept off? And why should I work hard if I can receive what the guy receives who works hard? And so God's not a socialist. But one of the things I think that this parable teaches us about our Christian service and our reward someday is that God is not going to base His rewards on what we cannot control, but is going to base our rewards based on what we can control. You see, people can't control what kind of family they're born into. People cannot control what country they're born into. And in many respects, people cannot control sometimes, yes, man has a choice, but people cannot control when they are saved in life. Now, yes, we do have a choice, but let me just bring up, for example, but Brother Vladimir. He was born in Russia. He was not born into a Christian home. He did not know the gospel. He was searching for the gospel, and he found the gospel later on in life. And let me tell you something, I don't believe that God is going to penalize people like that who get saved later on in life and jump into serving God and are happy to be serving the Lord just because they got saved later in life and didn't have as long to serve God. He's not going to penalize them for that. And I would have to believe that this parable is a tremendous encouragement and blessing to those who maybe got saved later in life. To realize that, you know what? God is going to reward me based on what I can control from here on out with the time that I have left. But I don't believe overall that I'm preaching tonight to the group that's been called late in life. And one of the things that really has grabbed my attention about our church recently is the youth. Have you seen the number of little kids? And they're in the hallways, and they're mine, they're running, and now I'm reaping what I sowed. I was running around Marion Avenue one night, and an arm shot out and grabbed me. And it was my dad, amen? And I was in trouble. But you have all the kids in the nurseries. You have all the kids and the King's kids. You see them come out, and my kids are a part of that now. And then the youth group and the teenagers, and that's a great thing. Something else that has really jumped out at me recently is I'm seeing a lot of people in this church, thank God, that I grew up with. Same age as me. And we grew up here. And now we are raising, and I'm not here, but we're raising our kids here. In this church. And I was out there at the Pee Wee game on Friday night, and I was watching Brother Larry Johnson's little boy out there, and Brother Tim Gardner's boys out there, and my girls were out there, and I got to thinking, man, you know, there are a lot of young, and I say young couples in this church with young kids. And you know what? We were called early. We had the great blessing of being called early in the first group. And was another blessing to me is to see that the people that handed this down to us, by and large, are still here. You know, I can remember as a kid, I can remember Brother Griffin sitting in the back and sitting, no, not sleeping, but sitting back in the back and ushering at church. That was 25 years ago. And he's still doing it. I can remember Brother Payne walking to the Sunday school class with that candy bucket. And I was glad when I was, those years when I was in your class, amen. And, you know, I saw him the other day and he was still carrying that bucket to class. You see people who were singing in the choir and singing specials and driving buses and all those things that you have done, and you're still doing it and you're still here, and you handed something down to us. And many of us who grew up in this church, we had the privilege of being called early. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for that. And I just want to say that my dad's message when I was here a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, I forget where it was, where he talked about how that the church, some in the church have grown older. And they've been doing this for a long time. And that now we need the younger people to step up and to start serving the Lord and to start taking that and going forward. And I was challenged by that. Even though this is not, I'm not here on a weekly basis, I was challenged by the message, thinking to myself that in a few months, I'll be 33, and that's the age that Dad was when he came to pastor here. And we are the future of this church. The young couples, our age, and we've grown up in this church. Now we're having kids and raising our kids in this church. And you know what? Something was handed to us. We were called early. And I think one of the saddest things in this story is that these laborers, they missed the blessings of being called early in the first group. They totally missed it. They ended up getting mad at the Lord. They overvalued their worth, by the way. They did. And that's easy for us Christians, we Christians to do, isn't it? Well, you know, you should have given us more. You overvalued their worth. God's not a beggar. God can use anybody as well as He can use us. And it's our privilege to be in His vineyard. And let me tell you something, they totally missed the blessings of being called early. And so that's the message. I want to give you a couple of things and we'll be done. Let's not miss the blessings for those of us who were called early. Let's not miss the blessings of it. Number one, they missed their great privilege. They missed their great privilege. I want you to look at verse number one again. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, and here it is, which went out. Do you see that? Look at it again in verse number 3. And he went out. Verse 5. Again, he went out. We see it again, in verse 6. He went out. Let me tell you something. Anytime a sinner gets saved, anytime a sinner is able to go to his knees and accept Christ as his Savior, it is because he went out. And he sought us before we sought him. And it is because of his great love and his great mercy and his great kindness and his great grace that any of us are able to be saved. To be saved is a great privilege. We saw it in verse number 16, the last part of it. He said, "For many be called, but few chosen." And you've heard it from this pulpit. You heard my dad say many times, this is not talking about that summer in Calvinism. And as he said, Calvinism is settled by one verse. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now what that verse is saying is that God has called everybody, but very few have actually been saved. Can I just remind us for a few minutes tonight that Jesus died for all men, but can you think with me tonight about how few have the privilege of being called the child of God? How few of the world have ever heard that great message in Luke chapter 2, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I never forget going to Madagascar with my grandpa, and we took a trip from Anseda Bay, which is south of the capital, and we went all the way to the coast, and we went for hours and hours all the way to the coast, and it got dark about 6 o'clock, and as it was getting dark, we passed these villages, and people were just sitting out there on the side of the road, and they had nothing to do, because when the sun goes down, there's no electricity, there's no lights. My dad and others who have been to Madagascar can tell you, when you fly into to Madagascar at night, there's just nothing, there's no lights. Because very little of the island has electricity. And so, they're just sitting out there, and we looked up as it got dark. I remember looking up and seeing all the stars in the sky. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder how many people will be born in these villages, and they will be born here, they will live their lives here, and they will die here without ever one time hearing the message of the gospel. They'll never hear it. They'll never know the one who put those stars in the sky. I think of that famous quote where Robert Moffat said, "In the vast plain to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." Do you realize how many people are like that in the world? The Bible describes them as having no hope and without God in the world. And probably the saddest time to see them is at the time of death. Maybe others remember it too. And Brother Vineyard would come here and preach our missions conference. And he would talk about being a soldier in Laos and that mother that had a small child die and how she held that baby, and then the relative held that baby, that child, and they held it, and the wailing and the mourning and no hope. And I've seen that in Madagascar, not that exact thing, but I have been to funerals in Madagascar and seen that situation, how different it is for the child of God. How different it is when those we love and now we're losing them, but we know they're saved and we know we're saved. We have the blessed hope and we know where they are, and how different it is for us. Let me tell you something, it is a great privilege to be saved. But how about this? Even fewer have the great privilege of being saved early in life. Gotta think about that. I can remember Brother Mick Hall's mom teaching me in Sunday school class in Iowa when I was Nellie's age. I can remember that. From as early as I can remember having a Sunday school teacher who was telling me the gospel story. I can remember my mom cutting out verses and having me memorize verses of Scripture, and my dad with devotion. I can remember King's kids here at the church and having the gospel told to me over and over again, and Mrs. Jessel in the class. I can remember in Iowa going to the Maxwell's house, and you having devotions there with the Maxwell, and we had a fight, and I had the ear tore off my Snoopy dog. And I don't know if that was Matt or Joe or me, but I'm still traumatized by that. But I just thinking, you know, from the time that I was little, very early in life, I never had to go looking for the gospel like Brother Vladimir. It was brought to me early in life. What a great privilege. What a great privilege. You hear about that pygmy man that had to climb that tree and search for God and say, God, where are you? And the gospel came to him. But he was already later in life when that happened. And that Muslim man who found Mark Bachman and said, if you could just please let me find this man in this city, I know he can help me. And it was, and he gave me a piece of paper, and it was his name on that paper. How many have the great privilege of being called early? Don't miss the great privilege of being called early in life. Number two, I see that they missed their great opportunity. Their great opportunity. Look at verse number 3 again, if you will. He says, and he went out about the third hour and saw others, and here it is, standing idle in the marketplace. And then he said, in verse number 5, again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. So they were standing idle too. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? That phrase is not found in verse 1 when it's talking about the group that was called early. Do you know why? Because that group had the opportunity to live their whole lives serving the Lord with no wasted years. They had an opportunity that the other ones didn't have. They had the chance to give their whole lives to the Lord and give none of it to Satan. And I tell you, we have people get saved in Madagascar. I'm thinking of a man in our church, Jean-Pierre. He's the dad of the first convert I baptized in Madagascar. And he got saved. I think he was in his 60s, I think. And you know something? He is so glad to be out in the marketplace. And he is so glad to be in church. And he is so glad to be a part of the Lord's family. But you know, sometimes I see on his face, when that man thinks about, I was wrong my entire life. And now he just has a few short years left to serve the Lord. I think about others in our church who were saved, maybe in their 40s or 30s. And you know what? They got saved and the grace of God has changed them. God washed all their sins away. But do you know that that will not change some things that happened before they got saved? They can't go back and start over again. But boy, that first group, they had the chance to do it right from the beginning. They had the chance to start serving the Lord early and get married right. And start rearing their kids right. And getting a good church from the beginning. And start serving the Lord there. And giving their whole lives to the Lord with no wasted years. I want to tell you something. I'm glad to be in the vineyard. And these guys, they missed it. We've borne the burden in the heat of the day. Well, there is an alternative. You could be in the marketplace wasting your life. Standing idle with nothing to show for it. And I sometimes see the world. We were in California. We were staying for a missions conference at a hotel just very close to the 49ers stadium. And on that Sunday, the 49ers had a game there. And in the afternoon, we were getting ready for the missionaries. Were getting ready to get picked up to go to the church for that evening service. And here the 49ers fans started coming in, just like the Bears fans, drunk and brokenhearted. Amen. And they had lost that day, just like we Bears fans. And here they came, drunk, I thought to myself, what are they living for? For that? Here I've got a wife and three kids. We're saved. We have a copy of God's Word in our hands. We have a godly heritage that was passed down to us. We have so much to live for. I'm thankful to be in the vineyard. And I want to encourage the young people of this church, don't waste your years. Don't take the opportunity that God has given you and give any of those years to Satan. Don't waste them. Don't take it. There are so many in this church who wish they could have had a chance to start there, and now they jumped in. They're happy to be out of the marketplace. They're happy to be serving the Lord, but they would give their right arm to have started where you started. Don't take that and waste it. Give any opportunity away that you've been given. And I want to say this lastly. They missed their great reward. I want you to look at it in verse number 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Now, I got to tell you something. I remember baling hay for the Lamberts with some of the guys in this church. And I got to tell you, you know, really and honestly, your heart kind of goes out to these guys a little bit. Because if we would have started at noon baling hay and worked all the way till about 7 o'clock at night, and then some guys would have come there at 7 o'clock and worked when it was nice and cool, you know, you're just putting the last bales in the barn and whatnot, and they would have got the same salary, it almost seems unfair. But you know what? That's exactly how these men viewed it. They're the only ones that negotiated for a price in the story. The other ones were so happy to be out. They said, hey, we will work for whatever. We trust you to take care of us. We're just happy to be in the vineyard. And we'll take whatever. If we're not careful, it's going to be about what is given to us and what's done for us and what am I going to get out of it. And in the end, friend, we are not working for wages. We're working out of love. And it should be that it's not about what He's doing for us, but it's about the great reward that we're going to have someday of giving to Him. And by default, yes, the men who were called at the 11th hour, yes, they got the same reward. God did not penalize them for being called late. But by default, the people that were called here early had so much more fruit to present to the Lord. Because they got to spend the whole day working. If we're not careful, we're going to have to remember that that's why we're in the vineyard. We're going to have the chance to say, Lord, we love You. And Lord, we're so thankful for the chance to have been called early. And because we didn't waste years and we got in there and took our opportunity, here we have so much to give You. And it's not us, but it's because of what You've given us. And they missed it. And they missed it. Let me just say this. If God calls you into His vineyard, thank God, then He has a place for you. There's a place for every member of this church to be serving somewhere. And you know what I love about this? If God calls into His vineyard, then He has people prepared for you. If God has called you into His work, and not full-time service, I'm talking about just being a Christian servant in the Lord's vineyard, then there is someone He has for you to reach, someone He has for you to help, someone He has for you to strengthen, someone He has for you to pour your life into. And I'm excited about the harvest. I don't remember the 70s. I don't. And I don't remember, I never got to hear, as far as I know, Dr. John R. Rice and Dr. Roloff. I was a little kid when Brother Hudson came, Brother Curtis. I don't remember those days. I don't. But I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember the 90s. I remember Pack a Pig. I remember the big days when we had 98 on the bus for the mic, and we were trying to find those last two, and I think one day we actually went over 100. I remember Brother Don teaching us teenagers and how to take our New Testaments and win someone to the Lord. I remember the exciting services at this place. I remember what God did here. I remember as a kid growing up and being a part of the GSAs that we would hold. I remember that. And I tell you what, I'm excited to still be in it. I'm excited for what God is still going to do now. This place is still full. There are still people being saved. There are still people to have our lives poured into and to be helped. And it's not over until He calls us home and there's a place for us and He wants to do something through us and He's doing something with us, and I'm happy to be a part of it. And I am. And my burden is this for us who are called tonight. We were called early. We're in this church. Sometimes our parents are here. Our Sunday teachers are here. Our teachers are here. Maybe still serving God. It's been handed to us. But now we're that generation to take it and run, not take over, but to take what we received and pour our lives into it and continue it and pass it down, if the Lord tarries, to our kids. And I love going on dates with my girls now. We can go for $8. Where do you want to go? Burger King. I want to wear the crown, you know. And took one of them on a date and asked her, do you remember when you got saved? She said, yes, I do. Got saved early. What a blessing. We get to receive that, continue it, and prayerfully pass it down until the Lord calls us home. A different message, but don't miss and don't waste the great blessings of being called early. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for what You've done in my heart today already. I pray, Lord, that it was a blessing tonight. And I pray, Lord, that those of us that have been called early and we've received so much and we've been handing something down and these people are still here. And Lord, help us not to change from what we've been handed down. Help us to take it, to pour our lives into it, take that privilege, the opportunity, and try to live our lives to give You as much as possible. Because we thank You for being called early. Help us to continue it and to pass it down to our kids. So if You tarry in heaven 20 years from now, this place will still be full. And they'll still be doing what we're doing right now. And our kids will get to grow up with what we got to grow up with, Lord. Help us not to miss the blessings of being called early.
Great thought tonight. Tremendous challenge. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Some are already praying. If you'd like to join them as the ladies play, now's the time to come. Is that you tonight? Does God speak to you? Is that you the person to take the challenge tonight? Don't miss being called early. The privileges. Young in life. Tremendous thoughts, tremendous message. Thank you. You obey the Lord. If salvation is what you need tonight, you follow the Lord's convicting power and drawing power, and you come. And will somebody show you how to be saved or baptized or just come to pray?